certainly glad that you're here tonight to engage in another study from God's Word. This being the last Sunday night of the month, we've been devoting ourselves to looking at some songs. In the song book last month, we did Lord Send Me, and it wasn't in our song book. In fact, we hadn't sung it for about 25 years. So I made sure this time this song was in our song book that we're going to look at tonight. The song that we'll look at tonight is a song, Have You Counted the Cost? It's sort of laid out in sermon fashion, so it'd be an easier lesson for us to follow. And Luke, and in chapter 14, and in verse 27 through 30, Luke 14, verses 27 through 30, he says in verse 27, and whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first set down and calculate the cost or count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? And from what I've figured out regarding this fellow that wrote this, A.J. Hodge, wrote this in 1923, we see that maybe this was the idea for the writing. We go to the first line. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. It might be our Lord. I might have wrote that down wrong. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. The idea here is crossing the line. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but in my neighborhood years ago when we were kids, we would go over and we would play ball against the other neighborhoods. And where one of the hotels is now, next to one of the gates on Preston Highway, there was a big field there that we used to play baseball and football and different things. And we would go down, walk down the lane, Phillips Lane there, and cut over to Manning Road, the other Manning Road, and then walk down to the field. And there was people that you would know there. There was Phil Sanders and Mark Sanders. They would come. They were in my general neighborhood as well as some other people. So Phil, he was a lot bigger and a lot older. So we'd get there, and one of the kids from the other neighborhood, they would draw a line. They'd say, okay, cross that line. And I'd look, yeah, Phil, cross that line. I wasn't going to take him on, but Phil, he was big enough to do that. So cross that line. And we've played that little game before. Maybe something a little bit more serious with the GM workers today that are striking in Bowling Green in different places. This is my son's first experience with a strike. So he's been reading up on strikes. So Ford's not in the middle of this yet, but GM is. And again, people, they have to cross a line or cross a picket line. And many people have been in those situations before, even in this congregation here. I was listening to somebody a couple of weeks ago say that they would, when over next to the river, they would sneak them in on the riverboats to work so they wouldn't have to cross the line out front. Well, this is the idea here, but it's concerning that of sin. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord. It talks about in Matthew and in chapter 12 and in verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 30. It says, and he who is not with me is against me, and who does not gather with me scatters. Also, we see that in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, Romans 6 and in verse 23, he says there, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So again, the idea of rejection. Then he goes on to say in verse 1, "Where the call of his Spirit is lost." There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of his Spirit is lost. And the call of his Spirit for us would be the Word of God. And of course, the idea here is that of maybe a hardened heart. People that have a hardened heart, we see this with the parable of the sower. Maybe that of rebellion, to where this is written about Christians. We see over in Hebrews and in chapter 6, we'll look at this one passage here. And in verse 4 through 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, it says, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened," well, that's a Christian, "and having tasted of the heavenly gift," well, that's a Christian, "and been partakers of the Holy Spirit," well, that's a Christian, "and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame." They won't repent. Where the call of his Spirit is lost. The Mr. Hodge says, "And you hurry along with a pleasure mad throng." We're busy. This is written in 1923. They were busy in 1923, just like we're busy today in 2019. They were busy. The idea is many times that we make ourselves busy. Make ourselves busy to the point that we're not able to do the things that many times we should be doing. We don't have time for God. In fact, we might not even have time to even think about God. But you hurry along with a pleasure man throne. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, and in verses 1 through 3, "For this we pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not yet drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression, disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, and confirmed to us by those who heard." And of course, we must use our time wisely. Have you counted the cost? He says in verse 2, he says, "You may barter your hope of eternity's morn." The act of bartering means seeking exchange without using money. And, of course, we should never barter our eternity because it is at stake. Hebrews 12 talks about Esau. Hebrews 12, and in verse 15 and 16, Hebrews 12, verse 15 and 16, it says in verse 15, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. You may barter your hope of eternity's morn." Then he goes on to say, For a moment of joy at the most. We live in a society of instant gratification, where we like that idea many times. And that's what it is. It's a moment of joy at the most. We see Hebrews chapter 11, Moses. Moses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures of heaven, he was looking to the reward. Well, what does he say next? In the song, he says, for the glitter of sin and the things that will win. Now, I don't know all the things he was dealing with in 1923 when he wrote this. I know they really didn't have commercials as of yet. Commercials on TV came about 1948-49. I don't know how many commercials they had on the radio in 1923. But I take it there was some glitter to sin. Today we have it in all forms. We could see it in every step we make. You can see it with the lottery. And you see the glitter of that, about the fact, well, somebody won $25 million. Somebody won $60 million. Somebody won $380 million. I think there was someone that won maybe $750 million. And there would be some glitter to that. There would be some glitter to the idea of thinking, well, just all the things I can do with that. You just think of all the good I could do with that. I could help myself. I could help my family. I could help my loved ones, other people. The glitter of it all. Maybe as well, we see it with commercials. We see it with commercials, especially beer commercials, and about how much fun you're going to be able to have if you involve yourself in drinking this kind of beer. The glitter of sin and the things it will win. He says over in James chapter 1, James 1 and in verse 14 and 15, James 1 verse 14 and 15, but each one, when he is tempted, he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And we went through this a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, talking about temptation and about what was involved with temptation, just step by step, really. So we don't have to spend much time tonight on that. It says in verse 15, and when lust was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's accomplished, it brings forth death. Well, we should learn some sort of self-control here regarding this, because we understand in 1 John and in chapter 2 and in verse 15 through 17. 1 John 2, verse 15 beginning, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. But still there's that glitter of sin. And that's what draws a lot of people. Verse 3. While the door of his mercy is open to you, you're still here. Why? Well, because God wants us to be saved. We understand that over in 2 Peter and in chapter 3 and in verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The
In fact, there's a passage over in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. It says, Revelation 3 and in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Then he says, when the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust. What does that say? Well, we're not going to be here forever. From the verse that we just read a moment ago, Jesus is going to quit knocking. He's knocking right now. He's wanting you to come. He's wanting you to obey him. He's wanting for you to come back to him. He's knocking right now, but at the same time, there's going to come a point to where he's going to quit knocking. We don't have forever. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we see that the time is now that you need to obey. In Romans and in chapter 13 and in verse 11 beginning, Romans chapter 13 and in verse 11 beginning, it says in verse 11, do this knowing the time of the season, that is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer for us than when we believed. The day is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh regard to its lust. He says, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? We live in a sin-sick world. In Mark and in chapter 2 and in verse 17. Mark 2 and in verse 17. It says, hearing this, Jesus said unto them, it is not for those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Isaiah deals with this very same thing as well. Many times in the book of Isaiah, as the children of Israel had fallen away. Jesus died to heal us. In 1 Peter and in chapter 2 and in verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 24. He says in verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. And you definitely must yield. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, he says, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, Have you counted the cost? Have you crossed that line? If you've crossed that line, as he says, you're drifting. Sometimes drifting further and further away. Sometimes drifting to the point that you're just not affected anybody. We talked this morning about a seared conscience. That's what it is. To where it's very hard to move somebody. But we pray if you're at that point in your life right now that you'll repent of your sins, come to Jesus in humble obedience. And we ask the question again tonight, have you counted the cost? Yield while there's still time. We invite you to come while together we stand and we sing.